Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Focus Features presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this, I ain't no Spice Girl.
Like never before.
That's my daughter, that's my Amy.
On the big screen.
I want to be remembered for just being me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black, directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R, under 17, not a minute without parent. Only in theaters May 17th.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 182, episode 2 of the Daily Zeitgeist, a production of iHeartRadio. This is a podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness. It is Tuesday, April 27th, 2021. My name is Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. I won't go to Disney World. Removed a few racist robots. Tell me, Disney, now when did you last... let ethics decide. I won't open my eyes. You're making blunder by blunder. I looked over sideways and under. Where's my racist log flume ride? A woke new world, a new inclusive point of view. I'm here to tell you no, I will not go. You've ruined my immersion. Fuck Disney World. All right, that is courtesy of Abstrusel, the official dickhead, writing from the point of view of angry Disney dad from Monday's episode.
Yeah, execution thirst boy.
And I push for the death penalty. I want Disney to fucking help me escape my hell world of being a fucking advocate of everything that's wrong.
Oh, that reminds me.
I've had the same issue with Chuck E. Cheese for years. You know, he's just simply too woke.
Yeah, you were saying. I mean, you are rocking a Chuck E. Cheese t-shirt wherein Chuck E. Cheese is...
he's breaking Ruth Bader Ginsburg in half.
Yeah,
he is both tearing. Ripped and in hell.
He's ripped and he's in hell, and I feel like that's, you know, that's something that children need to see. But
this is where to get you, not, kids.
It's not financially advantageous to make jacked Chucky in hell. It's embarrassing.
Well, I'm thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray.
I'm Miles Gray. And today I hit that bong.
Woo! You know, woo! That's true. Truer words. It's I'm one dimensional. I smoke weed. and nothing else. Thank you to the AKAs. Rob Cunningham at Math Demigod for that one. Shout out
That's
to...
That's so much cooler than the one thing that I have, which is pale thighs and drink Mountain Dew. Like, those are my two things. And they're not.
Well, coal gas. It's...
Pale thighs, Mountain Dew, can't lose, baby.
Hey, man, well, I'll run through a wall for Coach Jack, man.
We are thrilled to be joined in our third seat by the very face of Mount Zeitmore. She is the brilliant, the hilarious, the talented Prolific. Jamie Loftus!
A.K.A. Straight out of Brockton. I'm an ice resurfacing Zammy. Can't make an emoji, so people call me Yammy. Never called soft. That's not my dentist cough. My mouth was open and she sneezed with her mask off.
Mask off.
That's out, from Brockton, Uncle Mass. Brew. Shout out Brockton, Mass. Every day, all the time.
I watched a Lil Poopy again over the weekend.
Brockton legend.
I know.
How's he doing?
It was an old video. I thought of something that you ever do this where you were going to offer something in a conversation and then you don't say it and then you think of it later and you're like, wait, I want to explore that curiosity on my own that I didn't have the courage to say out loud. And then I just watched the first Lil Poopy video. I'm like, yeah, he had something going. Lil Poopy.
Lil Poopy was such a, that was a big local moment. Everyone was so excited. There's like one exciting thing happens in Brockton every 6 to 7 years.
What's been since Lil Poopy and he was on The Rap Life with Jermaine Dupri?
The most recent thing that's happened in Brockton that everyone I know from high school was really on top of was that they filmed a couple scenes from the new Adam McKay movie about climate change in Brockton.
Okay.
And Jennifer Lawrence and Timothée Chalamet were making out in Brockton.
Hey!
And that was pretty exciting for us. It's kind of fucked up because Brockton is used in movies every once in a while, but it's only used to be like, hey, isn't this a fucked up looking place? Like,
it's like the apocalypse.
Yeah, Brockton appears in the movie Detroit as Detroit.
Oh, wow. Like, it's a brocalypse. You know?
Yes, it's a brocalypse now, but Brockton's misunderstood. It's the greatest place in the world. And you know that because Timothée Chalamet was kissing there.
Exactly.
Would he kiss just anywhere? I don't think so.
No. Definitely not.
I miss Lil Poopy, but is he still out here? What's
I haven't heard about Lil Poopy in a while. And now he's like adult Poopy.
Yeah, now he's like
Big Poopy.
Yeah, he's compacted shit in the colon. Like, I don't know what he is now, but he's
Mr. Shit.
Yeah. Mr. Feces
Mr.
to you.
Shit to you. All right, Jamie, as you know, we're going to get to know you a little bit better in a moment. First, we're going to tell our listeners a couple of the things we're talking about. I just wanted to talk about David Grossman, the sheepdog guy who continues to lecture to police precincts and the FBI just across America, continues to be very popular. He is the worst and just seemingly a clear and present danger that eventually people will just be like, oh, wow, that's a bad idea. But they haven't yet. We're going to talk about how Joe Biden wants to take your meat
out of your mouth.
Ooh. Like to see you try, Mac. We'll talk about the Oscars.
What was that?
Writer on Twitter, Kylie Brakeman, said that the Oscars right now feel like if you got high and had a weird dream about the Oscars. And that was absolutely my experience.
They were all in a train station?
Yeah.
I know, it doesn't make any sense.
Right. We'll talk about what the producers of that Britney doc have in the hopper for Justin Timberlake's ass. Mm. And Jamie, before we get to any of that, we'd like to ask you, what is something from your search history? Weed. Nice.
Wow. Okay.
Sorry.
That was a little naughty to start the show, but I guess, you know, it's early. I've done this before, so I'm going to be really professional about it. And
just power through it. Ignore him, Jamie. Ignore him.
You didn't absolutely embarrass yourself, you adult.
Ignore him, Jamie. He's a weed head. My search history. I'm about to say the most horrifying thing in the world. Okay, so I searched Roller Roo. Are either of you familiar with Roller Roo?
No.
Okay, so Roller Roo is Roller Roo is a mascot for Skateland USA, which just had a location close. And there, I have a guy who DMs me on Instagram every time. It has to do with Chuck E. Cheese lore. I have a guy who sends me links to like secret auctions for when novelty businesses are closing. And so, I found out this Skateland was closing and I got into a bidding war with, I don't know what they were going to use, but I got in a bidding war over some mascot suits. I don't know who I was in the bidding war with. I have maybe some ideas that we were going to use them for different things.
Right.
But I ended up in a bidding war over these Roller Roo mascot suits and I won. And so now I have two. I might take the head down to show you guys. I have two Roller Roo mascot suits, and it's like a 90s era. I don't know what sort of animal he's supposed to be.
Kangaroo?
Maybe, but it doesn't look like it at all.
No. So no. He's
got like confetti coming out of his head.
Yeah.
Sometimes he wears a flannel. They don't. Wait, I'm going to get the head. Hold on.
Procure the cranium.
Like this?
Hey, he looks
what
like
the looks like Rayman.
He looks
Ray
like
Man,
the Cocoa
that video
Puffs.
Game.
What is? Like oh, he kind of does mascot. Look the Cocoa Puffs guy. I don't really know. Like, and now I thought I was just.
Is his hair pipe cleaners?
His hair is like it's like pipe cleaners with fabric on top of them, and they just sproing around. He's very scary, and they wouldn't let you buy just one. You had to buy both or neither. So I
oh, really?
Have two of them. And I was looking to see online if there was any like canon for this character.
Right.
And the only canon I could find is that he's just an employee at Skateland USA.
Just a laborer. Just about a laborer's skin.
He's just but a regular. He's just like us. But he's a gigantic maybe kangaroo with pipe cleaners shooting out of his skull. So.
And wears, like when you Google image search him, he has no consistent outfit like a normal person. Sometimes he's in a flannel unbuttoned. Sometimes he's in a tie-dye t-shirt. Sometimes he's dressed as a referee.
Yeah. Sometimes he's dressed in like 4th of July clothes.
Yeah. It's Uncle Sam drag.
Yeah.
There's been an evolution based on a Google image search where Roller Roo has had a few iterations over the years. So on some level, I feel like there is someone who did care enough about this character that we could find out more.
I want to know more. And it's like I would be happy to drop everything and come up with some canon myself if they need it. Because it does seem like he's been on a journey over these years. And we had to drive to Northridge to pick them up. And we had to like go into the skate rink that was in the process of being dismantled. And they had all these great celebrity skates there. They had like a skate signed by Wayne Brady that said, "I don't know how to skate, but thanks for inviting me."
Really?
It was great. Yeah.
Oh, my God. So you kind of impugned the motive of the person you were in the bidding war with. You were like, "I don't know what they wanted this for." Can you speak to what you wanted it for?
I kind of can't. I haven't really figured out what I want it for.
Yeah. Okay.
I think I'm going to use them in a show at some point, which is why I only needed one. I was like, oh, I could definitely use like a big, goofy, like unclear what this is suit for a show down the line. So I was sort of like, oh, I just want it for that. But now I have two of them, which feels more pointed.
Yeah.
And I had to get them dry cleaned and they take up a lot of space. I don't know what to do.
Guess what you do? You do the prestige. Okay. Because now you got identical Roller Roo suits. That's you do true. The fucking prestige with Roller Roo.
I was thinking, yeah.
Where you take advantage that you have a double suit and just fuck the audience's head over and be like,
That's, I had like a bunch of, once I found out I had two, it's like you could do shot for shot remakes of Mary-Kate and Ashley movies yep. if you wanted to.
Brother for sale. Roller Roo. Yeah.
You could have, I almost want to have like, yeah, be in a Roller Roo suit for an entire show and then just have a big egg on stage. And at the end, a second Roller Roo hatches out of the egg. No one sees that coming.
Yeah.
No. You know, there's a lot of possibilities. I don't know when I'm going to be allowed to perform again, but also this could be a really COVID safe way of performing because I'm wearing basically a full hazmat suit. In the form of Roller Roo.
I don't know. I would test that theory by going somewhere with biohazards. Nah, I'm good. I'm good. I got this Roller Roo suit on. No. You need a ventilator. I'm
like,
right.
Oh, what? No. He's got a little net thing on his
mouth. So what are you doing? We just taking down this fiberglass insulation with just our hands? Cool. I'll get on that right now.
Yeah.
Let me just
rip it out. Let me just put my breather on.
That's a Roller Roo.
Speaking of breather, you said that you had to get it dry cleaned. What did it smell like?
It didn't smell
good. Okay.
It didn't smell good. It just
like,
smelled
I hate
like
my
sweat.
Job.
It smelled like sweat and breath, and like I can't imagine like having to roller skate around in this suit because it's hard to even walk around in, and having a tail just fucks up your center of gravity completely.
Right.
Right. It's like wearing a microphone from an open mic stand up night.
In terms of the breath. Yeah.
Exactly. But you're inside of it now. You're inside the microphone.
The good news is that I got an incredible deal on
that's all that matters.
Yeah.
What is something you think is overrated?
Something I think is overrated that is probably connected to what we're going to talk about with the Oscars later is displacing unhoused people and disabled people to put on the Oscars at a train station.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't even think about what Union Station must have looked like for them to be like, get out of here. We got fucking celebrities coming through.
It sucked. There was a lot of good local reporting about it over the weekend specifically Alyssa Walker, who's amazing. But yeah, she was talking to people who lived in apartment complexes nearby. There's like a number of disabled people who live in the area who like need the access of the fucking train station to get around. And instead it was like, you know, an 8-block run around just to get to the train or just to get to
the part where they can access it. Right. Yeah.
Right. With like no shuttles, no anything. And so there were like a number of people that were just completely like, you know, at least a week where they just like couldn't access services that are, you know, should be a given. So that sucks. But it was interesting too, because there was also a union discussion going on around Chateau Marmont this week, where I believe there were like other Oscars. It was kind of confusing watching the broadcast because I think they were shooting at a number of locations in LA, but kind of trying to make it seem like it was all the same place.
Sure.
Right.
Which it, you know, clearly wasn't, but Chateau Marmont employees who have been trying to form a union for some time flew what do you call it? Like skywriting.
Like a banner thing.
Yeah.
Oh, did they write it with the sky or they were flying pulling a banner?
Sorry, it was a banner. Like a plain banner demanding that they be able to unionize over the Oscars yesterday. So that was pretty cool. But yeah, it's just like with any of these events, people are displaced, and especially where there were a number of people pointing out how like, you know, Nomadland is a movie about unhoused people, and unhoused people were displaced for that movie to have gotten an award at a train station.
Oh,
that
stop,
people need
stop,
to use.
Jamie, you're getting distracted. But Chloe Zhao, huh?
But,
I didn't see the movie, but it's like, oh no, we lost sight of what any of these things are about.
It's very bleak. It's so frustrating. And I'm glad that it was at least reported on. But yeah, just. I don't get it. But yeah, Alyssa Walker had great reporting on it. And hopefully I want to hear more about the Chateau Marmont unionization efforts because I don't know that much about it.
All I know is the worst stories about the Chateau and like what it is to work there.
Yeah.
Terrifying. Yeah.
The people who don't live in LA wouldn't know this, but there was a massive hours long dogfight in the sky between the Goodyear blimp and that Union plane. It was pretty cool.
Wait. Hold on.
What is something you think is underrated?
Ooh, this one is fun. Caitlin and I just rewatched this outside in my backyard for the first time in years the other weekend. It's an animated movie called The Legend of Titanic. It's free on YouTube. It's the greatest shit you'll ever see in your entire life. It was made, like, four countries made it. Like, it came out the year after James Cameron's Titanic. It's a cartoon that combines like four different movies. It has like basically the same love story from Titanic, but also there's mice on the boat, and it kind of has this Five Old Goes West vibe. And then in the movie, spoiler alert, there's the reason the Titanic sinks is because a rich guy's butler intimidates sharks who live in the ocean, and the sharks dare a gigantic octopus named Tentacles to throw an iceberg in front of the Titanic. Tentacles throws the iceberg, then realizes the error of his ways, and when the Titanic, of course, hits the iceberg, right? Then Tentacles goes, "Oh no, I can't believe what I've done," which is also how he talks, which is really funny. And he sounds like,
"Look at all those dead bodies."
He sounds like, no, see, that's the best part of The Legend of the Titanic. Tentacles, using his gigantic, scary, muscly octopus arms, holds the Titanic together, and everybody lives.
Oh, fuck yeah.
No one dies. It's
wow,
the greatest story ever told.
Oh my God. And that is my octopus teacher.
My octopus teacher is Tentacles. It's so good. The captain's on like the edge of the ship, and it's like I don't know, everyone famously dies, but he really famously dies, and Tentacles goes, "Oh no," and he like picks the captain up with this little creepy tentacle and puts him in a lifeboat.
Don't be a bummer, don't go down with the ship.
I feel so guilty for throwing that iceberg at you.
Oh, I love your beard.
It's so good.
And that movie is part of the Tarantino-verse, where Hitler got assassinated and the Titanic never sunk.
Right.
And explains a lot about
history is a little different.
Yeah. That's so awesome.
If there were a time travel thriller, what do you think the Titanic not sinking, how does that reverberate through our time?
Ooh.
Like, how fucked, like, anyway, just a thought experiment. What happens if the Titanic doesn't sink, huh?
Titanic that movie? Is like, the Titanic sinking also, wasn't that like a QAnon talking point for some time too? Of like, the Titanic sunk because bullshit, bullshit, bullshit. I'm pretty sure they managed to get Titanic involved into the Q-universe.
Oh.
I think we'd all live on cruise ships, right?
Right, we don't learn our I think we never learn, like, at that point then it's another lesson about like man's hubris about like technological marvels that we just are like, yeah, it's all good, hop in that Zeppelin, baby.
Yeah. Nuclear powered submarines and like nuclear war happened, nuclear Armageddon happened. That's why we all live on these giant cruise ships,
all because the Titanic didn't go down.
Yeah.
So Tentacles would have done a huge disservice to society by saving
tentacles.
Everyone on the Titanic.
Fuck you, bro. You ain't my octopus teacher.
Selfish.
I know.
What is my octopus teacher? And like, that was one of those things where I'm like,
tentacles.
You know what? I don't want to know. It was Tentacles is the only octopus I've ever learned anything from.
I've heard it's actually really good.
Yeah.
I'm sure
I haven't
it's
seen it,
good.
But I don't know. All I saw was like, okay, we get it. You held hands with an octopus. Next.
Oh, you held hands with the octopus. That's my favorite long tradition of Oscars, of watching the Oscars, is being dismissive of shit that is probably pretty good.
Yeah. Well, because I was.
We get it, asshole.
Yeah,
okay.
I said that, and someone's like, no, like, it's actually like, you think that, but it's actually compelling. And I'm like, I'm sure it is, but where I'm sitting high, it looks like you just holding hands with octopus.
Right. I didn't. That was one of the parts that I missed of the ceremony, was the My Octopus Teacher guy getting the award. But apparently he was.
Tentacles is a fucking freak. And we do not need things like this on TV. Tentacles is a, it's like a teddy bear that lost all its fur and then grew eight tentacles.
He has a dog nose. He's kind of this like squishy, fleshy.
The head
looks like an exposed muscle, kind of.
Yeah. The head is that of a fetus. kind of. The body is muscular in a way that octopus bodies are not, and also like flesh colored. But yeah. And then the process of holding the Titanic together looks like it is doing like some manner of like MMA maneuver. He's, on the Titanic. He's
fully strangling the Titanic.
This is from Italy. This whole universe is brought to us by Italians. And there is a this is a part of a trilogy in which the third installment is called Tentacolino.
Tentacolino.
About little tentacles. And has nothing, like, it's such, reading, has nothing to do with Titanic anymore. It was just like, yo, that's how I got my start, baby.
It says, just to launch the
character. Of the three, Tentacolino is easily the most bizarre and quite possibly the worst children's film I've ever seen. I have no idea what values or lessons kids are supposed to take away from this thing. You absolutely must see it for yourself. It's one of my favorite bad movies of all time. All right, Tentacolino, here we go.
There we go.
Really, really good. Like, I've seen Tentacolino. I don't think I've seen the second one.
Titanic, The Legend Goes On.
The Legend
Goes On. It's a sequel.
How could it possibly go on? I don't know.
The rest of that boat trip is pretty gnarly. That is amazing.
Fucking Tentacolino. Wow.
Tentacolino.
Shout out, I know. Another Oscar snub. I mean, if we're going through snubs.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's see. Did Glenn Close know about Tentacolino? I doubt it.
She's a plant.
Did anybody figure out if they really made another Pinocchio movie this year or if that was like a typo? Like, they kept talking about this Pinocchio movie.
Look up the images from it. It's really scary. It's also the second Pinocchio movie that director has made. Life is Beautiful guy.
Really?
Oh.
Yeah.
Right. I remember when he made the first one. And
I don't know why he made a second Pinocchio.
And
wait,
they're both...
what's the Guillermo del Toro Pinocchio? That's the one that's coming out this year?
More Pinocchios.
Of the three Pinocchios that are currently in the mix, that the del Toro one seems like it'll probably be the best one because it's animated. But Disney's doing a live-action Pinocchio. Roberto Benigni did a second Pinocchio that is truly horrifying to look at. And then, I don't know.
Oh, that's the one where it's like, it looks like this like little boy has like a skin condition where his face looks like wood.
Yeah. And then they go the route of like really adapting the fairy tale, which I guess ends up with them like hanging Pinocchio. I was like, I don't know this side of Pinocchio.
Easy now.
I don't understand. I don't know what the lesson is. I don't understand. And I don't want to watch it.
Yeah.
I think we're getting too much Pinocchio, yo.
I almost want to say that, but I don't want to put my foot in my mouth later, you know? it's the same as Robin Hood, where it's like this old open source text that like people, there's just happens to be 30 versions of it in development at any time, always. Yeah.
Was it just because it's like, what do they call it? Like anyone can adapt it. It's just like media?
Public domain or whatever.
Yeah. Right. Is that?
It must be. But it's just like, who gives a shit? Like, honestly, like, I mean, shout out to Finn Wolfhard from Stranger Things, but like, okay, like, fuck it.
Wait,
Pinocchio?
Finn Wolfhard is the Pinocchio?
Finn Wolfhard is Pinocchio.
His character is called like something or rather. I don't know. Everyone's got fucking weird names, man. I don't know.
Lampwick.
Yeah.
Oh,
no.
He's
Gregory
Mann
is Pinocchio.
Oh,
he's Lampwick. Ewan McGregor is the talking cricket.
Yeah.
I don't know.
John Turturro is Master Cherry. Like, look, Christoph Waltz doesn't have to be in this,
but he is.
No one needs to be in this.
You know, Ron Perlman does not have to be in a Pinocchio thing. I get it, just for voices. And is Guillermo del Toro going from The Shape of Water to this film?
I think that might be right.
Pinocchio? Yeah, I don't think that anything's come out from him in between.
He's like, oh, he's like, fuck. Too much fish fucking. Let's get these puppet narratives going.
Let's get these puppet noses going. I don't understand any of, I don't understand if there is like a big cultural desire for Pinocchio that I'm not understanding, but I don't know anyone whose like favorite story, movie, character is Pinocchio.
No. That was pretty unnerving.
Yeah.
It's really scary. Yeah.
I tried to show it to my kids because just being like Disney, you know, it's one of the Disney movies they haven't seen. They lasted like 5 minutes. I think generally like all puppetry is creepy to kids because you can like do, I don't know.
It's fair.
Like, what do you mean? Like what's a puppet though? Is a Muppet a puppet?
Well, I guess so.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Ventriloquist like dummy.
Yeah.
From Toy Story 4, like they won't watch Toy Story 4 because of the ventriloquist dummies.
Them shits are objectively fucking scary looking. Yeah, yeah. Like, I don't like that.
But, like, and they were out on Pinocchio the second he even made Pinocchio. Like, he didn't even have to come to
like
life.
To see, like, because it like, looks like a
like,
horse.
Like, no, out of here. No, yeah, no. Yeah.
Like, it's too floppy.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's also a Robert Zemeckis directed live action Disney Pinocchio coming that's got Tom Hanks as Geppetto and Joseph Gordon-Levitt is Jiminy Cricket. I just don't think anybody wants this. I'm not convinced at all.
Call
Cynthia Erivo as the Blue Fairy. That could be, I mean, just like, I just, does anybody want this movie? I don't understand.
That's what it's a weird like talent laundering service where they just like keep people who are talented to like working on something nobody will ever see. Like Roberto Benigni won that award and the next thing he did was a Pinocchio movie no one saw. And then after that, he was like, you know what?
I should do another Pinocchio movie. Okay, so y'all didn't hear me the first time. Okay, so I heard you. You need me to be Geppetto. Okay.
Oh, God. Yeah, because he was Pinocchio the first time, right? And then there was a Jonathan Taylor Thomas Pinocchios. I've had enough. I don't want any more Pinocchios.
Oh, that's right. Jonathan Taylor Thomas.
The JGT one's actually really good. All right, let's move on from that. I will not sit here and let you talk shit about the JTT Pinocchio.
Okay.
All right, let's take a quick break. We'll be right back.
Hey, here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Visible is the wireless company that makes wireless visible. No hidden fees, no really. Save on wireless with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. You don't need more than one line of wireless to save. Just switch to Visible at Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan, and if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island, and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
What up? I am Dramos, host of the Life as a Gringo podcast. Now, this is a show for the No Sabo kids, the 200 percenters. Here we celebrate your otherness and embrace living in the gray area. If you ever felt like you were always too much this while also never being enough that, this is the podcast for you. Every Tuesday, I'll be bringing you conversations around personal growth, issues affecting the Latin community, and much more via my own personal stories, along with interviews with inspiring thought leaders from our community. Then, every Thursday, I'll be tackling trending stories and current events from our community that you need to know. So much of what makes our community so beautiful is our diversity, yet too often, those of us who don't fit into this dumb, stereotypical box of whatever it means to be Latino are left without a voice or just forgotten about. On this show, I celebrate the uniqueness of our culture and invite you to walk in your authenticity. Listen to Life as a Gringo as a part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back. And I wanted to, I guessed it on a episode of Behind the Bastards back in like June or July, I think.
So have we.
It's not a competition.
What's your point?
Okay, just saying.
Anyways, okay. That's all. Just wanted to bring that up.
I was
How
on
many
there
times
too.
Have you done it?
I was one where we talked about cum.
I was only
and Dr.
on...
Kellogg.
Damn.
I don't let Robert talk about cum to me.
That's a policy, actually, in your contract. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I would not sign my contract.
So I guessed it on this. This is my second appearance. So, you know, I'm still trying to catch up.
Pod.
And it was about this guy, David Grossman, who goes around lecturing police precincts. I think one of his books is required reading for the FBI. Mm. Yeah, required reading at the FBI Academy and at police academies across the country. And his whole philosophy is that killing is just not that big a deal. He's a former Army Ranger who never killed. That's one detail. He never killed anybody on the job. So wow. He's just here to tell you what
he
found.
He doesn't even kill people.
What he found for that.
Everyone's like,
that would actually, anything we're about to say, the most devastating way to like.
You're like, bro, you never even killed somebody.
Yeah. Go to the sea of Oakleys that are sitting watching this guy and
right.
Just shout that yeah. Behind him. But anyways, I just wanted to play a clip because it keeps coming up in like people retweeting that episode. And I don't think we've like really dug in on this show. And it just seems like such obvious, you know, as we're talking about reforming and replacing and defunding police, like the fact that this person is allowed to continue to walk around free, let alone like fucking lecture on how police should be doing their job is pretty obscene. Like,
yeah.
And yeah, so I just wanted to play a clip from one of his lectures. And this is kind of the lecture he goes around giving people.
I am convinced from a lifetime of study, if you fully prepare yourself, in most cases, killing is just not that big a deal. For a mature warrior who's prepared themselves mind, body, and spirit for a lifetime, for a mature warrior who's killing somebody represents a clear and present danger to others, it's just not that big a deal. There's no wrong way to respond to killing. There's many ways people respond, and they're all the same. They're all okay. Uh-huh. But if you could choose how you responded, I think you'd want to feel good about it. Yeah.
Yeah.
This is the most dangerous, one of the most dangerous people in this country. Right? Like to hear someone articulate it. First of all, you never even killed any. You don't even go here. What the fuck is it? Where does this guy get off being like, oh, it's all good, man. You're going to love it. You're going to love it.
He studies killology, which is a word he made up. But
he's like, look, I can be a botanist and not be a plant. So what do you mean? I can study killology and not be a killer. This is just so. And I guess it really is that mindset. This is the guy who tells everybody to walk around with this warrior mindset, right? Because the world is out to kill everybody.
Right. Mm-hmm. And he's telling the police a sort of a version of reality that they want to believe, that at least is easier for them to believe, that lets them, you know, indulge the instincts and the emotions that make their life more fun. And he uses very coded language, but he's essentially poor people is who he's talking about. And urban hellscape. You know, obviously just describing black people. And he also like talks about how after people report to him that after killing someone on the job, they go home and have the best sex they've had in months.
What the? This is very straightforward radicalization.
Yeah. Like it's straight up.
It's the people you're going to interact with are not human. You are actually above everyone else because he's a mature warrior, whatever the fuck that is. And then goes on to add like the sex dynamic, which is also very prevalent in this kind of shit, which is like, dude, it leads to best fucking of your life.
Like, it's just like implies that like killing people is like a sign of virility. And like it's it's like an escalation on just telling people to keep doing what they're doing. This is.
Yeah, you're giving people the rationale and intellectual cover to murder undisturbed, like literally undisturbed. Like you don't want to be disturbed by anything you're doing either. And it's really, this whole process of just being like, I'm sure the repetition of being like a mature warrior, da 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 da. Because now you've put yourself in this like, in this morality tale where you, the mature warrior, are traversing the fucking desolate wasteland that is the city, having to fucking stand up for the weak and by murdering people.
And then I just want to read this. So a Mother Jones reporter, Brian Schatz, went to one of his speeches and quotes from his like how he depicts like that the Donald Trump American carnage, like we're living in a hellscape, cars on fire at every corner. Just like making shit up, like this guy is sort of takes that to another level. His latest book, Assassination Generation, insists violent video games are turning the nation's youth into mass murderers. He talks about the wave of massacres is just the beginning. These crimes are happening everywhere. He foresees attacks on school buses and daycare centers. Kindergartners run about 0.5 miles an hour and get a burst of about 20 yards and then they're done. It won't just happen with guns, but with hammers, axes, hatchets, knives, and swords. His voice jumps an octave. Hacking and stabbing little kids. You don't think they'll attack daycares? It's already happening in China. When you hear about a daycare massacre, tell them Grossman said it was coming. So he's making up like violent acts and like putting, just like turning the version of like of reality that these people see, like their communities, into a target-rich environment, and then telling them that killing people is awesome, is literally an awesome thing to do, and not that big a deal.
Mm. Cool.
That was so many dog whistles in a row, like right after the other, after the other.
Yep.
Yeah, it's happening everywhere. Just get. I mean, look.
Yeah.
This is exactly why these fucking people are useless. Like, we don't need more police. They continue to. How many? Like, we're going to have to spend half of the trending episode talking about the three people that have been shot in the last week, probably. So, you know, what is all this for? If the whole thing is you're looking right here when it's required reading of the FBI and multiple police academies to walk around in a stance, which is I'm going to have to fucking pop off at any fucking moment because everyone's out here to get me. And your role is to get the people that are out to get you rather than to go out there and help your community.
protect people. Yeah.
Dude, you're never going to have any good fucking outcomes because of this shit. So, like, why are we even bothered? I mean, you know, some of us get it. Too many of us don't, though, unfortunately, to say, like, this is not the kind of people we want out there. The D.C. police, they just wrecked a bunch of cars because they were drag racing.
Yeah.
Mm. Like, who the fuck? What are they doing anymore? What is this anymore?
Yeah. Escalation at all costs, basically. Right. Which is the exact opposite of what they should be doing.
I mean, I think the only way they can survive is to provoke the public to the point where there's such chaos that that's the only way they can justify their existence is to whip the public into a frenzy to then, I hate to use that term whip, but like just to get the public in a frenzy to then be able to like, see, this is why we got to be here. This is why we exist because we're inducing this also, but we're going to completely avoid that part of the analysis.
Yeah. All right. Let's talk about what the right is focused on. While actual bad things are happening.
Anything but the real shit, right? Because we just got done talking about how systemic racism is completely just that it's manifested in the policing system, which is now just killing people on a daily basis. So now they have to pivot because they can't talk about that. And I don't know if you saw everything was about plant-based something. It's been a big hamburger thing. Well, it all happened because of the Daily Mail, wouldn't you believe it? The fantastic, Daily Fail. They had a fucking article that read, this was the headline, how Biden's climate plan could limit you to eat just one burger a month, cost $3,500 a year per person in taxes, force you to spend $55,000 on electric car, and crush American jobs. Wow,
That's like a randomized right wing headline.
Right. Completely computer generated. I mean, I will say this. Yeah. Joe Biden's climate plan doesn't go far enough. I think many people have acknowledged that for us to not get that degree and a half Celsius degree change to try and really stave off the worst of it, the United States has to do more than 50% of what Biden is saying. Like, we also have to take into account how much the United States has contributed over time. And relative to correcting that, it's going to need to be bigger than 50 cent, aka more than 50%. Plus, the United States should actually be helping many other nations who don't have the means to do this as well. Like, that's really our duty on top of it. But that's a whole other show called We're Not Doing Enough. So, yes, this plan will get you only one hamburger a month, you piece of shit. That's all you deserve. And this is all because Joe Biden, again, I said Joe Biden is an enviro terrorist who wants to just, save our earth. But the reason they got this number about why you only get one hamburger a month is they pointed to this study that was talking about how meat consumption would factor into just emissions. And it's this one line they hung on to. Further reducing beef by 90% of current levels while replacing 50% of other animal-based foods results in a per capita decrease in greenhouse gas emissions of 51%. And because Joe Biden is saying we need to bring it down 50%, they're immediately going to, you get one hamburger. So
this is, obviously this is the most ridiculous shit on the fucking planet. But it's just like, again, it's just cutting out like who are the actual main perpetrators of climate change, of gas emissions, where I feel like that's like something that a lot of just like on the ground programs and nonprofits have been trying to make people understand for a while, where like, yes, everyone should be trying to cut their emissions as an individual, but ultimately it's not like an individual problem. Like, you can help and you can like do your part and like more power to you, but it's like mega corporations who Biden doesn't tax adequately who are the main perpetrators of this shit. This is just so fucking annoying.
How about this? What if you only want hamburger though?
But wait, I want two though. What if I had a hard week?
I want
week?
Two hamburgers. Okay,
I want
fine.
Two hamburgers.
I guess we're never
going
to tackle climate change. I mean, now and then all this does is, again, because there's one study and they're stripping away of all nuance. You have people like Jesse Waters goes down. He says this, that sounds great, but would Americans have to give up? But what would Americans have to give up to make that happen? Americans would have to cut red meat consumption by a whopping 90%. That means only one burger a month. Just straight regurgitation of this article. Larry Kudlow, who's famously all the drunk all the time, if you recall from the Trump administration, who was just like his Fox News idiot, who's like, you know what, Wolf? I don't think that's really going to happen.
He's saying,
okay, I can't,
speaking
I can't
of stupid,
keep straight the drunk
there's
people.
A study that's coming out of the University of Michigan that says that to meet the Biden Green New Deal targets, America has to get this. America has to stop eating meat, stop selling poultry, fish, eggs, dairy, animal-based foods. As a meat grill, okay, got that. No burgers on the 4th of July, no steaks on the Barbie. I'm sure middle America is just going to love that. So get ready. You can throw back a plant-based beer with your grilled Brussels sprouts and have your American flag, call it July 4th green.
What?
Wait, that's I'm sorry, call it July 4th green?
Yep, that's what he said. All I did was the accent. The words I said were not, I don't know what the fuck. And that's why other people are like,
this is just
plant-based beer was
trending. Yeah, I quit. If they're going to try and make people drink plant-based beer, good luck.
God, what's your favorite kind of beer? Mine's fucking fat drippings from a roasted pig.
What the fuck do they think is in beer?
This is beside the point. This is beside the point, but call it July 4th green is just so awkwardly phrased. Where it reminds me of the Tony Stark billboard from last week where it's bring back Tony Stark to life. Where you're just like, we've got some words out of order here. This is so, whatever, like I want a hamburger as much as the next person, but the amount of like symbolic importance put on the ability to eat red meat is fucking bizarre. Like, I don't.
Well, that's all again because they've reduced their ideological sauce down to the dumbest parts now, and it used to be a lot more liquid and malleable. Now it's just become this toxic goo where all they can be like is like, what are you gonna stop eating meat? Like, that's dude, there's real problems.
We weren't talking about that. Yeah.
Huh?
That's not the issue.
And you look at this Fox News graphic, okay, that they put on Fox News. It says up in your grill, Biden's crime requirements. It has a picture of a double cheeseburger. It says cut 90% of red meat from diet, max 4 pounds per year, one burger per month. What the fuck?
Oh, no.
What is there, this?
It doesn't make sense. And it's like also, that is such a silly looking like graphic. News screen cap. Yeah, that's so ridiculous.
It's as, well, they're trying to make
they're
it seem
it
like.
They're making it look like it's a law.
Yeah, the New World Order has arrived. You will now eat 90% less meat. You will have one burger allotted to you per month.
Oh, I don't want to live in a world, honey, where we only get one hamburger a month.
It's like just so stupid.
So embarrassing.
Move the fuck on. But yeah. As
also, keep the good name of grilled Brussels sprouts out of your mouth, sir.
Call it 4th of July green.
I will call it 4th of July green. It's good.
The thing, did you guys see Chuck Schumer like subtweeting was like just enjoying my plant based beer?
You mean windmilling on his ass?
God, politicians are so embarrassing.
Shut up,
but
Chuck.
I do like do. It seems like a big D Democrat move to be like, oh hell yeah, we're gonna like fight this culture war just because. Yeah, they don't mind keeping the conversation about bullshit like this.
Yeah, because right,
this is the easiest thing to combat in the world. Yeah. Like,
God forbid,
everyone kind of benefits from this because it's like, oh, let's not talk about an actual problem. Let's like, it's easy for Chuck Schumer to dunk on someone for neglecting to realize that plants are involved in the production of beer. Like, it's just ugh.
Yeah,
and it actively distracts from like the policies the Democrats won't.
I just, I think in like watching this, enough people understand how these two idiotic groups in DC just keep the ball where it is and don't move it forward by just being like, hey, what about meat? Oh, which thing? Beer's made of meat? What an idiot. What's systemic racism? I haven't heard of it.
I don't know her. Yeah,
also, like, thank you, George Floyd, for dying. Like this, these people aren't, they don't give a fuck. They're so... It's just as easy for them to begin talking about this left or right than to really get, you know, start alienating racist people by saying we need to completely rethink so many things from top to bottom. You know, I can't. Was Chuck Schumer going to be like, hey, enjoying my plant-based beer while I say what's going on with Breonna Taylor's killers?
Yeah.
Like, of course not. Yeah, it's
anyways. Cool. Chuck Schumer.
Cool. angle, everybody.
Hey, but we're, you know what? It. That's so tight that he was like enjoying my plant-based beer because Apple didn't even know it was plant-based.
It's so.
Oh, right. I'm still breathing unclean air.
Huh. Right. I hate anytime centrist Democrats are given a little opportunity to dunk online, a piece of my soul passes away. It's so embarrassing to watch, especially to watch like Facebook parents engage with it and be like, you go, Chuck, you tell him, Chuck. I'm like,
oh, me? Yeah, I'm pulling my kids out of the public school district.
Yeah, this right. is so
what's that have to do with the kids who go there? I don't know. Whatever. Anyway, yeah, go off, Chuck.
I don't know. Yeah, go off, King. Love your niece's comedy.
Technically cousins.
Sorry. Wow. I'm sorry. I would like to issue an apology to the Schumer family.
To the Schumer gang.
It. And I should have done my research.
Yes. You should have assumed differently.
When you make assumptions.
I was going to throw it a break, but I think we just go out on that. Jamie, it's been great having you. All right, let's take a quick break. We'll be right back. Hey, here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Visible is the wireless company that makes wireless visible. No hidden fees, no really. Save on wireless with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. You don't need more than one line of wireless to save. Just switch to Visible at Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan, and if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island, and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
What up? I am Dramos, host of the Life as a Gringo podcast. Now, this is a show for the No Sabo kids, the 200%ers. Here we celebrate your otherness and embrace living in the gray area. If you ever felt like you were always too much this while also never being enough that, this is the podcast for you. Every Tuesday, I'll be bringing you conversations around personal growth, issues affecting the Latin community, and much more via my own personal stories, along with interviews with inspiring thought leaders from our community. Then, every Thursday, I'll be tackling trending stories and current events from our community that you need to know. So much of what makes our community so beautiful is our diversity, yet too often, those of us who don't fit into this dumb, stereotypical box of whatever it means to be Latino are left without a voice or just forgotten about. On this show, I celebrate the uniqueness of our culture and invite you to walk in your authenticity. Listen to Life as a Gringo as a part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back. And let's talk about, we were all, with Chuck Schumer and Spirit watching those Oscars mm-hmm. with our plant-based beers.
Yep, with my 4th of July green.
And as promised, they were strange. You know, we talked about how Soderbergh was talking up like all these, he under-delivered on like some of the things he said. There were no like character arcs during the awards that I noticed. Maybe they were happening in the background.
He said there was going to be character arcs.
He said that the presenters would be playing heightened versions of themselves, and there would be like character arcs.
That's like a very like I'm cheating on my essay way of saying like, yeah, they're performers who are naturally going to be on when they have to read something out loud.
Right.
That's a very like it sounds to me like a galaxy brain way of being like, if they're acting kind of confusing to you, that's actually an intentional choice and not mm-hmm. just like the situation that they've been put in.
Please keep your eyes open for that.
Right.
Yeah. Everyone was acting a little off.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, for sure. I was looking forward to just watching this more than most because I thought like one way or another it will be interesting. And like the second it started with Regina King like doing that long tracking shot of her like walking in like it was like a stylized Ocean's 11 thing, I immediately was like, oh, I'm going to hate this because I'm going to feel sorry for everybody who has to like go along with this for like I felt so bad for her. Like that was such a weird long like I don't know. I mean, she's a performer, so she made it great, but
Regina King made it work, I feel like, better than almost any. I feel like Regina King and Laura Dern and Don Cheadle were like the top,
right,
making that very bizarre situation.
Yeah, the Cranston thing was just like, what?
I don't know what was going on there. I went to pee. I liked my personal favorite moment was when Regina King said Borat 2, which I was like, Borat. Okay, so Regina King does not have time to watch Borat. Borat, and yeah. I respect that. Yeah, I respect that.
Some shit called Borat 2.
She was like, I don't know.
You tell me.
I thought it was going to be way more cringy than it was. And I think, sure, like there were parts that just were like, ugh. But I will give it this, because it was so odd, I watched a lot more than I thought I would, because it was a pure departure from the traditional gathering of the egos, which is what every award show is. And I'm like, I think the heightened part just felt like it's nice to see people kind of be a little bit more on rather than like, come out to the podium, roll your eyes at the shitty jokes that have been written on prompt or open the envelope. That it was just different. And but other than that,
cool. Yeah,
it was messy. But I feel like of all the pandemic award shows, like none of them are going to be perfect. But it was like it felt like the most technically smooth. I was like paying the closest attention. There was no one on Zoom on a bad Wi-Fi connection, which I feel like has happened on every other award show. And it's awful. I thought that the green screens were funny, like when Sacha Baron Cohen looked like he was standing on a bridge in Australia. I'm like, okay, sure.
Apparently, this was the first Oscars that had below 10 million viewers. Right-wing media is dancing. Yeah.
They're windmilling. They're windmilling on the Oscars.
Yeah.
So silly. It's like, yeah, of course, as not as many people were watching it. What?
Right. This was 100% expected.
Yeah. But also, I mean, like, shout out to Sugar Bear You know what I mean? And the entire experience unlimited, the DC-based go-go funk band, you know what I mean? Obviously, Sugar Bear, Junie, Juju, Mighty Mo, Keys. We all know the members of that band. One of my favorite. I'm Glenn Close. I'm a white woman. Was that believable?
A lot of people seem to believe it. It was like clearly written. My galaxy brain theory there is that Glenn Close knew she was going to lose, and given what she was nominated for, she absolutely should have lost for the eighth time, and went to someone, knew someone, and was like, if I'm going to lose my eighth Oscar in a row, I would like to look cool at some point. That's my theory. She's like, I need a moment because I keep losing Oscars.
Oh, interesting.
I wonder if Glenn Close's publicist was like, look, we know she can't win for this role, but give her a moment.
Or like Laurel, like the writing team reaches out because they wrote the bit in the room and they're like, dude. And then Glenn Close knows about the butt. That would be hilarious. And then they reach out to her reps. And at first, Glenn Close is like, absolutely not. I don't want to do anything. And then I'm sure someone's like, look, you're about to lose your eighth fucking Oscar in a row. Okay, you need something. You don't want the headlines to be Glenn just took eight straight L's. You want it to be Glenn Close kind of culture vulturing for a bit in the award show.
She did do like a quick aside where she was like, and, you know, the butt was not even nominated, so it didn't even have a chance to win an award, which I thought was interesting. Like, so she was kind of connecting it to her lack of wins.
I would be interested in the oral history of how this bit came to be. I feel like it's it's more complicated than we could possibly imagine.
Right.
Yes.
And what was the tug of war creatively? Did she have notes? Was she like, oh, can we do something maybe related to DC because of statehood and approaching statehood possibly? Thematically, that would feel better for me, for my character.
What's my arc in this comedy bit?
Maybe that was, she was playing a character. That was the part that Steven Soderbergh was talking about. He was like,
I don't know.
Glenn Close is going to be a very like cool hip hop historian. And then everybody else just said no.
I mean, you could see in the audience, some people were like, cool, Glenn Close. Like, I mean, I get on paper, like that's a funny skit or whatever.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
in practice, like it just, it, you know,
she would have
definitely
had to, like,
probably went over great in the room. And then, as it was happening, it was like, this would be funnier if you were just joking about it with someone and it didn't actually happen.
Because it had the vibe of a viral video, you know, is fake from the beginning.
Right.
And you're like, yo, this shit's fake. Yo, I get, I get that the old woman got up. And I'm not trying to say that disrespectfully. I understand that someone from another generation was like, oh, yeah, I fuck with the butt or whatever. And like, that's cool. Yeah. Like, blah, blah, blah. But it just, again, I'm like,
it's like when Betty White got back into movies in like the mid 2000s and they're like, grandma's rapping, everyone. Uh-huh. Like, it kind of is that vibe where it's like, we know this bit isn't real, but then also I don't know, I think that the whole broadcast was so disorienting that some people were like, maybe it's real, I don't know.
Right. And then like the ending was obviously very strange and abrupt, and I felt like it almost made it, the whole Oscars, feel like an art film that was like, it was like, and the ending will just leave you scratching your head and being
what
like,
was
what
the ending
just happened?
Questlove being like, hey, thanks for watching.
Well, no, the fact that, so they did Best Picture first. Then they did the Best Acting Awards, and the Best Acting Awards were the most anticlimactic ever because, you know, Fern was not having it. She was just like, okay, here's a quote, and then thank you for this. And then Anthony Hopkins was not there. And nobody was there to accept the award on his behalf. And they were like, oh.
And they were like, okay, bye. Huh. I guess like that is proof that they truly do not know who wins until the night of, because it did seem like they were very clearly like setting it up for a posthumous Chadwick Boseman win, which would have been like really beautiful. And because no one knew, it felt like there was this big ending set piece set up that just didn't happen. I don't know. It was,
Including Anthony Hopkins himself didn't know he was going to win to the point that he didn't show he up didn't or go. Send I anyone mean, in
if
his
I was
stead.
Anthony Hopkins, I would not think I was going to win. I don't, right. I don't know.
Who am I? Who, what could I possibly offer them?
Didn't he become like one of the oldest to win that? He's the Ooh. Oldest actor to win that award.
We love our old kings. We love our
we stand
octogenarians.
You know yeah. what I mean?
They win the presidency. They win the Oscar.
Anthony Hopkins goes live on Instagram a lot and plays his piano. So I wonder if he'll that's how he'll be accepting this
right.
award. He's 83. Wow. Yeah, but that was like incredibly anticlimactic and like understandably disappointing for literally everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And also, I feel like took Chloe Zhao's moment a little bit, too, because it was like Best Picture should have just been the last.
Thing. Yeah.
And right.
Could have ended on a celebratory cool note.
Well, the speeches were offered like a nice moment, too, like where they weren't just kind of rushing people off, like they kind of yeah. let people speak, which I didn't mind at all. But I think overall, yeah. the lesson from this is don't treat the format of these fucking award shows as sacred at all. Like the way they're being sure. done, I don't give a fuck. Like I'd rather watch some awkward ass high fever dream of an award show than like the again gathering of the egos, let's all applaud and fucking fake laugh. Like just I don't know, let me do something different. Who gives a shit?
But I think the lesson they learn will be the opposite, and
right.
that it'll be to be desperate because the ratings were down and not take into account that it was
Angelina Jolie has to be sitting within 50 feet of Brad Pitt for the tension.
Right. Yeah,
this year just shouldn't count. Like it's just like, of course not as many people are going to watch this year. Not no one could see movies. I don't know. Right. It's just
half
so...
the time I was like indignant or just like upset. I'm like, well, yeah, maybe I'd watch that if the theater was open. And I want
right.
to
right.
like, have that experience again. I'm like, I'm not watching no HBO Max version of all these like films. Sometimes I want to see them in the large format. What can you do?
I would like to see Nomadland, but I know that my attention span is not going to, it's not a living room kind of movie. You have to like go and see it.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's best watched while doing the New York Times crossword puzzle and not paying any attention has been my experience.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think if I had to guess, they will ditch the no host format for next year's Oscars and book Elon Musk to host the Oscars, and it'll be a ratings hit.
With Grimes.
With Grimes.
And the Oscars are all NFTs that they bid on.
What was the NFT thing for the Oscars? I think there was an NFT in the goodie bag. I'm pretty sure that there was. Wait, let's fact check this. I'm pretty Look sure that Oscars. There.
Oh my god, that rules.
Yeah, there's a there's a Chadwick Boseman NFT. That official.
Oh, yeah.
I mean.
Okay. Huh. I still don't totally understand NFTs, but I know I'm not interested in them.
That's going to be worth something, Jamie, because, there's only going to be 200 of those, and they're going to be valuable. So, I mean, in the end, the estate of Chadwick Boseman probably has to feel good overall because he did get that NFT. They got that NFT, so that's cool. Yeah.
The graphic for it feels like a fucking flyer for a nightclub like that ends right. horribly.
Why?
NFT in the swag bag in tribute to Chadwick Boseman. Scan this QR code now. Like what?
It really does. Yes. Wow. Okay.
Get me out of here.
Let's talk real quick about this. Brittany Doc crew, the team behind the Brittany Doc, are now focusing on the Janet Jackson, Justin Timberlake Super Bowl performance, which is definitely, I'm so happy that they kind of looked at the response to the documentary and they're like, man, a lot of people fucking hate Justin Timberlake. Let's look
ruin
into
his fucking life. Like, all right,
let's dig into why.
The documentary induced an apology from him where he's like, hey, I'm so sorry to Britney and Janet Jackson. And I know we've talked about in the past about how apps like how our recollection of that or the mainstream media's recollection of that is completely fucked up and one-sided.
Disaster.
But
yeah,
like you're like, that's right. you kind of left your girl Janet out to fucking dry on her own, and she was essentially banished from media because of the Viacom executives and like Les Moonves and all those people.
There's a great episode of You're Wrong About that like specific halftime show too. I'm excited that it's like actually going to like get, I don't know. I mean, I hope Janet Jackson feels good now that people are like finally kind of,
right,
you know, getting her some fairness in this situation, because it is so ridiculous to look back on.
Yeah, absolutely. And I know like there's it seems like they're not sure if she'll participate, you know, because Britney had nothing to do with the other one either. But I think some people are also a little critical, too, because they're like, don't also interview people that's going to allow them to like revise their own history, like their relationship to what happened just by virtue of including them in this. So I think it's going to be a very interesting production if it all comes together. But yeah, I mean, it was inevitable, I think, given that his Justin Timberlake's apology from that was like, and also Janet Jackson.
Right.
Huh?
Hey, guys, while we're talking. Jamie, it's been such a pleasure having you as always. Where can people find you and follow you?
You can find me in all the normal places at Jamie Loftus Help on Twitter, Jamie Cry Superstar on Instagram. And I have a new podcast coming out in June about Kathy Comics that you can listen to, or you can listen to Lolita Podcast, Bechdel Cast, My Year in Mensa, Choose Your Poison.
All award winning.
They're all award winning and wonderful.
They're all getting on base. You know why? Because they're all hits.
Hey. You know
what I mean? I get it.
You know what I mean?
I get that reference.
Got it, my friends at Fenway?
Jamie, is there a tweet or some of the work of social media you've been enjoying?
Yeah, this is my favorite Oscars-related tweet. It's from Matt Bushell, and it's the screen cap of... Sacha Baron Cohen and Isla Fisher standing in front, like doing that. I don't know. They were holding each other's arms for the whole ceremony.
Yeah.
And he captioned it, "My husband and I love your energy. Mind if we buy you a drink?" Which was absolutely what they were giving off.
Wow. Love your energy.
Miles, where can people find you? What's a tweet you've been enjoying?
Twitter, Instagram, Miles of Gray. Also, the other podcast, 420 Day Fiance. Some tweets that I'm liking, you know, all Oscar related. First one's from Matt Lieb, at Matt Lieb. Trent Reznor holding his Oscar. "I want to thank you like an animal." Because he did not get to say thank you, whatever he needed to say. Him and Atticus doubled up on the nommies? Wow.
Yeah.
And then the Lucas Brothers. Their projects had a good night, but at Lucas Bros tweeted, "We may not have gotten an Oscar, but at the very least, we probably got COVID."
That's going to be worth something. That COVID that you got at the Oscars, not many people can
At Union claim. Station?
Yeah.
At Union what a memory. Station.
Let's see. A couple tweets I've been enjoying. Julie Klausner, for some reason this killed me, like a quarter of the way into the Oscars she was just like, "Is this a fundraiser?" Really kind of had that vibe.
Oh wow,
that's great.
Yeah.
Really well made fucking fundraiser.
Yeah.
Yes. Fun drive. I don't know what the fuck.
Fun drive.
Fun drive.
It was for whatever Bryan Cranston was talking about, right? Yeah.
For the Wasserman campus in Woodland Hills.
And then Art Bravera, hollowed at Social Practicer, tweeted, "It goes like this: the fourth, the fifth, the whiskey drink, the vodka drink, the baffled king composing Chumbawamba." And I really liked that. You can find us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes. Oh, we link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as a song we think you guys should go check out. Miles, what's a song that people should check?
Just more boom bapetry. This is DJ Signify featuring Aesop Rock. You know, this is just a good love the voice of Aesop on this DJ Signify beat. It's called Low Tide. And you got to give it a second because it starts off real slow and dark, and then the beat will drop and you get your full rap flow on it. But you know, have patience with this one. It's a journey. It doesn't just start off on one with a kick drum. You know what I mean? You got to earn that beat drop.
Wow.
All right, go check that out and be patient with it. The Daily Zeitgeist is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. That is going to do it for this morning. We're back this afternoon to tell you what's trending, and we will talk to y'all then. Bye.
Bye. Bye.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Zeit gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. A new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, it gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're gonna love Season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What up? I am Dramos, host of the Life as a Gringo podcast. This is a show for the No Sabo kids, the 200%ers. Here we celebrate your otherness and embrace living in the gray area. Every Tuesday, I'll be bringing you conversations around personal growth, issues affecting the Latin community, and much more. Then, every Thursday, I'll be tackling trending stories and current events from our community. Listen to Life as a Gringo on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.